Today's message continues us in our 31-week journey through the story, an entire going through of the Bible, and brings us now to chapter 10. We're learning about David and his rise as king. He is called the man after God's own heart. And it's a great chapter for us to learn, especially in these uncertain times, to see how one of God's saints before us walked through uncertain and even dangerous times, kept his faith because he kept his eye on God. That's where his hope was. And I pray, friends, that's where our hope will be as God strengthens us through this message today. One of the first things that we remember about David from this chapter is that God looks at the heart. When the prophet Samuel went to the house of David's family, he was told by God, well, I'm going to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. As soon as Samuel saw the firstborn walk in, he was sure that was the one. But God spoke to Samuel, and he spoke it to us as it's contained in the Word. The Lord does not look at outward appearances, mere humans notice. The Lord looks at the heart. And it was the heart of a little shepherd boy named David that God was seeking so that he might shepherd or lead the people of God as king. What I think we can notice that stands out the most about David is his heart of faith. David has faith that when he goes forward into greet his brothers to supply them as they're fighting the Philistines, he sees this giant mocking Israel and mocking the God that he trusts in. And David has faith, God will help me win this battle. He has faith enough to face the battle not with Saul's armor or with 1,000 soldiers backing him up, but he grabs just 5 smooth stones, his slingshot, and his faith. David says to the giant, you come at me with spear, sword, and shield, but I come at you in the name of the mighty God of Israel, the Lord of hosts. David had great faith. To fight a giant with a slingshot, to trust in God to be his good shepherd. We too are people of faith, are we not? We too are here in God's house, gathered together in Jesus' name because we have faith. Let's remember, friends, that our faith doesn't have to be big. It's that the object of our faith needs to be big and strong and available, and our God is. He is there for us in this pandemic. He is there to us to provide for us. He is there, like David sang, to be our rock and our fortress, even if death seems like it's so close and even entangling us. It can't take us away from the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the resurrection and the life. We, when we have faith, are stronger and more victorious. Just like David, the man after God's own heart. Secondly, thing we notice about David is what he does when he succeeds. Now, David later on is going to have a lot of struggles, but early on, the success in fighting Goliath, the successes after successes when he went out into battle, so much so the people would sing, King Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. That kind of success could go to your head. That kind of success could move someone to say, how could I use this to my advantage? Get some commercial endorsements, get people to do what I want them to do. I might even be able to muscle my way in as king. David knew he was going to be king. God had assured him of that. He had that as part of the foundation of his faith. But he did not let success ruin him. David, with his successes, always praised God and gave him the glory. Can we do that? The skills and abilities God gives us, the opportunities that we take advantage of and we succeed in, can we realize that those were all gifts from a heavenly Father who loves us? And when we receive them, when we are blessed, when the people praise, or the paychecks roll in, can we give glory to the God who gives us all that we have? Can we, like David, when we succeed, glorify God? I pray it's so, friends. One of the other things to notice about David that I pray could be something that shows we too can grow as people after God's own heart is his patience. Now, historians can't tell us exact dates on the calendar, but we have a pretty good idea that from the time David was anointed as king as a little teenager until the time when he actually came to sit on God's throne, almost 15 years goes by. You get a promise from God, yay! You wait and wait. Now, going through the story as we have done, as we've looked at God's word these last weeks together, we've seen this waiting before, haven't we? We've seen it in Abraham and Sarah when they waited from the time he was promised a son until the time that son was born at age 100. We've seen Joseph wait in prison. We saw Noah waiting on the ark for the waters to diminish. Do you detect a theme? God had David also wait. In that waiting, David grew stronger. In that waiting, David saw he didn't need the trappings of a palace or the cheers of the crowd. The God who strengthened him in the wilderness, the God who kept him safe in the cave, the God who provided for David all the days of his life, was the God that David was going to trust in. When David had his chance, when King Saul came into the very cave where David was, when he could have, in a moment, shoved his sword right through him and instantly claimed the kingship, David instead only cut off a piece of his robe to prove his own innocence and righteousness. David said to King Saul, in effect, "You know what? God told me I'm going to be king. You know I'm not trying to knock you off of your throne. I would never raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. I will be patient for God to deal with you in his time. I will trust in God and not in my own timing." It's a great lesson, friends. And I wonder how many times we have tried to force issues. We've tried to make things happen. And we could let God whisper to us by this text that we too might be patient. Patient in enduring more weeks at home. Patient in wearing masks and doing other things to care for people and keep them safe. Patient when we are so eager to rush and make something happen in a relationship or at work. Patient that we pray to the God who can work it all out. May God increase our patience. The last thing I think that we notice here about this idea of patience, this is that David not only didn't attack Saul, but he didn't badmouth him either. You know, we are often very quick to judge. We might not ever take a sword to anyone, but boy, will we let our words slice and dice and criticize and everything else that we can do. Jesus has some very strong words to say to us in the gospel reading today about that. Our very words, every careless word that we speak, will be brought in judgment against us. Why? Because the words that you and I speak when we're angry, the words that you and I speak when we're in judgment of someone else, the words that you and I speak when we are not in patient faith, trusting in the God who is our refuge and strength, those words are a reflection of what's in our hearts. That may be hard for us to hear, but so much better for us to hear it, for us to humble ourselves, for us to seek God to renew our hearts and a right spirit within us, so much better for us to hear that in place of having our words judge us, Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, speaks words of forgiveness and grace for us and to us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And with his last breath crying out, "It is finished." This patient suffering of Jesus can cleanse our hearts, yours and mine, so that we are free now to praise God, to trust in Him, to continue to be patient with Him. This pandemic, God will help us do so. There's one last mark about David. After all of his successes, as he settled in as king, David has the opportunity to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. It doesn't go all that well at first. David again learns something about grace and about trusting in God and God's ways. But when he brings the Ark in, David is so full of praise, so full of glorifying God, that he is dancing before the people. And not only is he praising God and giving God all the glory, taking care of the priests and meeting every need for this beautiful act of worship, God and his presence coming to be here in Jerusalem, David is also generous to others. We read about him giving away cakes and raisins and dates and blessing all of the people over whom he is king. This graciousness, this gratitude, flows out of David's awareness of how much God loves him, how good God is, and how we then, through that goodness, can show that goodness to others. It's my prayer, friends, that in this time when we are all hunkered down, we have to make sure we have enough toilet paper and all food and all those things that we need, that while we are stuck at home to preserve lives, we can still praise God, and we can also be generous to others. Praise Him for the mercy if COVID-19 has not come into your family's life. Praise Him for His goodness that we have been safe so far. Praise Him that He keeps us connected even by these wonderful means of phones and internet and videos and everything else. Praise Him for His mercy to forgive our sins and give us new hearts. Praise Him because He's God. And He promises that even if this disease were to bring us to death's door, God's hold on us is stronger, and He will bring us to heaven's gates to live forever. Praise Him and be generous to others. This is what is on David's heart. This is a reflection of God's heart. And may such praise of God and generosity towards others be a reflection of what is in your heart and mine. To God's glory, amen.